Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to this 57th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, June 20th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through the manner in which they live their lives, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Our American college campuses are fraught with controversy, conflict, and at times, chaos. The voice of the Christian student is drowned out by shouts of dissent and dissatisfaction. How do young Christian college students stand up for their beliefs in Jesus Christ without suffering the consequences of ridicule and rejection? It is my pleasure to have as my guest this morning, Christopher Glotzbach. Christopher is a campus missionary for Reliant and his local church, The Revolution, at Ball State University. Recently graduated from Ball State with a major in journalism and telecommunications, Christopher was a part of The Revolution for the 4 years he attended Ball State. Christopher is eager to share how The Revolution Campus Church has completely changed his life and the way he sees others. He considers it an honor to be able to work alongside their great staff, and he is so excited to see what God does during this new season of his life. He is passionate about connecting with people and building community. Welcome to the show, Christopher.
Hey, it's so good to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Patty.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Christopher, and I'm a little bit jealous of you because I know you're still spending time up there in Estes Park.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I sure am. It is so beautiful. The weather's perfect, and I can't complain.
No 4 feet of snow like when I was there, huh?
Not anymore. It's melted away.
Well, that was awesome for me. I'm a real snow bunny, so I just absolutely love that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Well, Christopher, you are currently serving as a campus missionary. So if you would share with us what a campus missionary does. And I'd also like to know, when you were a younger person, is this what you envisioned for this stage of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, yeah, I get the opportunity to be able to serve as a campus missionary. And essentially what that looks like is every single day I get to be on campus at Ball State University, which is in Indiana, in Muncie, Indiana. And I just get to be able to do life alongside students. And I love what you shared, Patty, earlier, that there's just so much controversy and conflict and at times chaos. And so I really get to walk alongside them and be able to guide and direct them towards Jesus through all of that. And your second question, is that what I envisioned for my future when I was younger? A really crazy story, Patty, is when I was 6 years old, right after I gave my life to the Lord, I was being homeschooled by my mother and my grandmother, and I received a piece of paper to draw what I wanted to be when I grew up. And unlike most six-year-olds drew a picture of a professional athlete or an astronaut or a school teacher, I drew a picture of myself holding a safari hat in one hand and a Bible in the other, and I was riding a giraffe. And I gave that back
Wow.
to my grandmother and my mother. Yeah, I gave that back to my grandmother and my mother, and they said, "What in the world is this?" And I said, "I want to be a missionary when I get older." And I didn't really think that through too much, but I really felt the call to go into full-time ministry at such a young age. And I just really am blessed by God pursuing me, even when I wasn't pursuing that as an outlet. Like you mentioned, I went off to a secular college to study journalism and telecommunications, and I wanted to be a play-by-play guy on the radio. I wanted to work my way up through ESPN and maybe one day make it there. But the Lord had different plans for me and really got a hold of my life. And so, yeah, I would say it's a little indifferent how I was as a child. I thought that I wanted to go into full-time ministry, but at the same time, I kind of wanted to live out my passion as well.
That is an amazing story, Christopher. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's pretty neat.
Of course.
That's really
neat. Yeah, it's awesome. God is good. Yeah, appreciate
that. Yes, he is. Well, I've done a little bit of research on Reliant, and apparently it used to be known as Great Commission Ministries. Can you tell us why the name has changed and what Reliant's mission is?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's a great question. We get that question a ton. And so I'm excited to be able to share with you guys. So, yeah, just in the last couple of years, Reliant has kind of gone through a new rebranding. We've kind of realized that we're much greater than just college ministry. And so Reliant has kind of gone through this rebranding to kind of incorporate all the different ministries that they do. So they're a part of church plants for community churches. They're a part of inner city, just great nonprofit organizations. And so, you know, the reason that we switched to Reliant was we want everybody to know that we're completely reliant on God. And so, you know, the Great Commission Ministries, that's great, you know, and of course, that's one of the things that we love about our ministry is that we're supposed to go out and make disciples of all nations. But we are under the understanding because of Scripture that we can't do any of that without God at the head of our ministry. And so that's why we've you know, kind of went through this rebranding process to kind of incorporate all these different ministries that we get to be a part of. And so Reliant is kind of our sending agency. They make sure that we're taken care of. And, yeah, Reliant's mission is just to make devoted followers of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we hope to do, whether in campus ministry, community ministry, just any type of ministry. We just want to make devoted followers of Jesus Christ and to love Jesus well and to love people well.
So it sounds like you're not really narrowed down to one particular group of people. You're
correct.
You're diverse, I guess, is the word I'm looking for there, Christopher.
Yeah.
As far as
that's
age and all these different needs. Yeah, very good, very good. Well, Christopher, you mentioned that, excuse me, that you're a member of the Revolution Church. And to somebody my age, the term revolution when it comes to young people kind of has a negative connotation, like people are going to be running around with guns blazing and wanting to change everything sort of thing. But I'm sure that that in no way represents what your church stands for. So tell us a little bit about why that title and what your church, what their mission is.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love this question. We send people who are in full-time ministry, Ball State University, and we joke constantly that the revolution has been causing concern for parents for a number of years just based on our name. So I really enjoy this question. So yeah, the revolution, I think why we decided to jump on this name, prior to the revolution, we were called Ball State Bible Studies. And
oh,
so
okay.
We wanted to come up with something. Yeah, we wanted to come up with something that was a little bit more heartfelt than this, you know, organic, not so organic name as Ball State Bible Studies. And so we jumped on the name Revolution because we really believe that when Jesus came, he was here to just change the world. And I think that we're called to do the same thing, to cause this revolution. Not, you know, we're not anti really anything, but the revolution, you know, I think it's real similar to Reliant's mission is we want to connect unconnected people to Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that we'll talk about this a little bit, but Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana, only 6% of our campus says that they're followers of Jesus Christ. And so
wow.
There is a revolution that needs to be done. You know, there's such change that needs to be made. And we want to be on the front line of that. And so that's what we're passionate about. We're just passionate about connecting unconnected people to Jesus Christ and to love Jesus well and to love others well. And so I think that is why we kind of jumped on the name Revolution, even though it is, it might conjure up a negative connotation in people's minds. But once you get to talk to us, we hope that we dissuade you from a negative connotation.
Well, on the other hand, though, Christopher, look at the age group that you are catering to, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
to young
exactly.
people. So they're going to look at that word revolution and say, oh, cool, something different.
Yes.
You know, so I absolutely, you know, instead of what you said, what was it, Ball State Bible Studies, and you take a young
yeah.
person who is unchurched, who has never opened a Bible, and they're going to be, ain't my thing. So,
yep.
You know, you're absolutely right. And I can refer
yeah.
back to a previous show that I did with a gentleman who has a youth ministry in inner city Philadelphia, and the name of his is 252 Underground. Well, you know, that kind of
wow.
is a lot. more appealing to a young person than, you know, such and such community church's youth group or whatever. So, yeah, I absolutely understand where you're coming from with that, Christopher. Can you share with us a little bit about maybe the activities that you participate in within your church family or on the universities?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been really blessed to be able to do ministry full time at Ball State University. And essentially what we like to do is we just like to join the university and activities that they're doing. And we want to just go along and walk alongside Ball State University. I think we have a great working relationship with them. And so one of the biggest and actually most fruitful ministries that we've been able to do, at least me individually, is I actually get to go out on campus and play basketball. And I get, you know, that's part of my job role is to go out on campus and play basketball. And I've connected with so many people. I've been able to just be able to share the gospel on the basketball court and to be able to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And so that's actually probably one of the most exciting things that I get to do life with college students. And that means going to their home and just hanging out and watching TV. And really, we like to call that turf time, you know, going out on their turf, asking them to come into our church, which can, as you were sharing, can be intimidating at times, you know. And so we want to be able to join them where they're at. Wherever they're at, we want to go to them. And so any activity that you can think of that college students are doing, you can almost envision the staff at Ball State University alongside those students and walking with them and saying, hey, let's share with you what Jesus says about this. And sometimes that can be really challenging and difficult, but man, I've been so blessed to be able to be a part of the ministry and walking along students here on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes, Chris, you know, a young person will walk into a church, especially one that they're unfamiliar with, and people give them that weird look, like, you know, they're not dressed in their Sunday best, you know, they're wearing their comfortable jeans and a t-shirt that maybe has a saying on it that isn't real well accepted in that particular church community. And I mean, it, you know, they just feel really uncomfortable. So, and usually one of those experiences is enough to keep them away for a very, very long time. So the fact that you are just kind of right, getting right down in there into their world is just very cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun too.
Oh my gosh, I am just so blessed. I think I have the best job in the world, and I get to save people's lives, right, from eternity, separated from Christ. And so I can't think of a better thing that I would want to do with my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you could tell us what made you choose Ball State.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I went off to college, like I mentioned. And I actually went to Ball State University, and I know in my introduction you introduced it, but I double majored in journalism and communications while I was there. The dream was to work for a huge market, you know, go to a big city and work for ESPN or, you know, something similar to that, and just do play-by-play. And that was the dream that I had for me. And my freshman year, I was living out in the dorms, and I moved in with a buddy of mine who just wasn't a believer at the time. And the reason that I moved in with him, Patty, was I wanted to be able to share who Jesus was with him and really live missional with him. And for about 3 years, I would share the gospel with him pretty consistently. And for 3 years, he would consistently turn me down. And our junior year, we moved off campus and we moved into a house with four other non-believers. And so it was just me and five guys who just were not interested at all in who Jesus was. And my hope was to be able to live an authentic life, you know, as I feel like Jesus would. And one day, I invited my roommates to this basketball game and just to play basketball, and they came. And finally, my roommate from freshman year, one of my best friends from high school, still one of my best friends today, pulled me aside in the middle of the games, and he said, "Man, what's different about you guys?" And, you know, I looked at him, and I said, "Shane, I have no idea what you're talking about." And he said, "Chris, tell me what is different about you." And I looked at him again and I said, "Well, the only thing that I can think of is I have a relationship with Jesus and I don't think you do." And he said, "Yeah, I think you're right. Can you tell me about how I would receive that?" And so, of course, I jumped on that opportunity. I was so excited. And me and actually my mentor were able to sit down with Shane. And we met over a course of 15 weeks going through the Gospel of John together and being able to just dive into Scripture and really bite into what it looked like to live a life for Jesus. And after about 15 weeks of meeting with Shane right before Christmas break, right before we were about to go home to our families, we asked Shane a really challenging and probing question. We said, Shane, what is preventing you from surrendering your life to Jesus Christ right now? And Shane looked at me for a really long time. He looked at Carl for a really long time, and he just shook his head, and he said, nothing. This is what I want to commit my life to. So it was in that moment that this guy that I've been faithfully praying for 3, maybe 5 years, that he would have a personal relationship with Jesus, was surrendering his life to Jesus. And, Chatty, I don't throw this out like it happens every day, but, man, I just really felt like the Lord spoke to me in that moment as Shane was praying to receive Christ. And I really felt the Lord say, Chris, why in the world would you do anything else other than surrender it to me and my call for you to minister on college campuses in my name? And I was kind of taken aback. You know, like I mentioned, I wanted to work for ESPN. I had all these dreams that I had for myself. And it kind of took me off guard, you know, it caught me off guard. And so I took about a year praying about that, seeking leadership, asking my mentor, Carl, if this is something that he felt like I was equipped to do. And after about a year praying about it, really felt and just really calmed my spirit about the idea of going into full-time ministry on college campuses. And it just made the most sense. Yes, why Ball State? It just made the most sense. I just graduated from this campus. I know the university. I know the people. I have relationships and friendships and people that I already get an opportunity to reach out to every single day. So why not Ball State, I guess, is the answer to that question. And so I've been really blessed. I haven't even been there for a year, but I've been so blessed to be able to do ministry on a campus that I love so much.
And I love to hear you share a story like this, Chris. I love it when my guests share stories of how God led them in a direction that they just hadn't planned on themselves. It just kind of always gives me, I don't know, kind of goosebumps. It always is such a cool thing. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I'd also like to ask you, Chris, you studied journalism and telecommunications, and yet you talk about going through scripture with other students. Did you have any particular, I guess, Bible study, theology education, or have you just kind of, you know, learned how to interpret the Bible through your own study of the scriptures?
Mm. Yeah, that's a great question, Patty. And I would answer your question and just tell you that I've been really blessed. I was really blessed from a young age to go to a church that really preached the Bible well and really taught theology extremely well. I always joke that my mentor back home where I grew up is way overqualified to be at the church that he's at. He has a doctorate in theology, and I think, you know, he's talking to a congregation of 100 people every single Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it was this really intimate congregation where we were just this really tight-knit community, and we were able to have one-on-one time with our pastor to be able to just teach us what the Bible says and to challenge us to read and interpret it for ourselves as well. And so I think from a really young age, faith became my own, and I was really blessed. And, you know, God, I just brag about who Jesus is. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible is 1 Corinthians 1:31, and it says, if I'm going to boast, let me boast only in the Lord. And so, man, God is the reason that I feel like I have the knowledge that I have. And so, yeah, I haven't done any, you know, other than a couple religion classes in college and praying about potentially going to seminary starting in August, no official training in any of this. But I've just been really blessed by the mentors, you know, Carl Frost and Neil Kring and other people on our staff team, and Bob Stewart, as I was talking about earlier, and Tom Dennison. These guys, these men who have really poured their lives into me. And so I think that Jesus has really done a great job with where he's put me, you know, to be able to be equipped for ministry.
Exactly. Well, the only reason I even bring that up, Chris, is because I think we as Christians need to realize that's one of the biggest drawbacks when you talk to people as to why they don't share the gospel, is because they're afraid that they don't know enough. They don't have, they just feel like they don't know enough. If the person they're talking to asks questions, what if they give the wrong answer? And we let ourselves be dragged down by all of these insecurities of, I'm not good enough. And of course we know who that's coming from. That's coming from the evil one, you know, but I just wanted to bring that up as a fact that here you are, a young man who you're obviously on fire to share the gospel with all of these other young people. And you, you know, you certainly don't have, you know, 3 degrees behind your name is what I'm saying is that there's no reason that any of us can't do this as Christians. So that was the whole point of bringing that up.
Absolutely. And I think that's such a great word.
You know, you have taken the knowledge that you have and you rely on God and on the Holy Spirit to plant these seeds in these young people, which I think is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate that.
Well, Chris, I often about midway through the show, maybe a little before, a little after, wherever there's a good kind of a pause point, I make listeners aware once again of who they're listening to, because on Blog Talk Radio, we have people that come in the middle of a show and they probably like to know who they're listening to before the very end. So listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Christopher Glotzbach, and Chris has just been a joy to talk to. He is a campus missionary who obviously loves his work, and he has shared with us a little bit about how he came to the point that he is at now and some of the things that he does on Ball State University, and he's just fascinating. I want to make listeners aware that this show can be listened to on archive, so if you missed a part of it, or if you want to refer it to a friend, or if you want to listen to it again, you can go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And there you will find, under the Blog Talk Radio tab, a page that is archive shows, and it has the link to every show that we have ever recorded. So I invite you to go there. Also, if you would like to learn more about Chris, he has a website, he has a Facebook page, and of course, being a young person like he is, he has an Instagram account, which I know absolutely nothing about. And once again, I'm not going to rattle off URLs here. They are also found on my website at pattysheen.com, and they're under a page called Website and Social Media Information, and you will find that information for all of our guests. I did fail to mention at the beginning of the show also that this is a pre-recorded show, hence that is the reason that guests are not able to access it by telephone this morning, which is usually our guests on a live show can just listen by their telephones, but since this is pre-recorded, we're unable to do that this morning. But like I said, it is available on archive for ever and ever, I guess. So I just encourage folks to check out Chris's website and friend him on Facebook or like his page. And he's a fascinating young man. Well, Chris, as you and I have shared, the premise of this show is for my guests to share a time when they have been in a dark place and how they came back to light. And I don't know if you have had an experience like that, maybe during your education, trying to get your ministry started, whatever. Is there a time when you just felt like things weren't going the way you wished and things were looking pretty gloomy? And how did you find your way back from that?
Yeah, Patty, you know, that's a great question. And, I think I'll just share kind of what's happened most recently in my life. Something that's been pretty difficult is I had an opportunity with our church to lead a short-term mission trip over to Amsterdam. And we went over there for days and just had an opportunity to meet with the refugees that were seeking asylum from their countries, you know, from Jordan, from Yemen, from just all over the world, from Iraq and Iran and just broke my heart to see these hurting people and really the stereotypes that many Americans put them into. And while we were over there, you know, one of the things that we were hoping to do is to be able to share the gospel and be really bold for Jesus. And we went to a refugee camp every day, and we had an opportunity to be invited in. You could only get in to the camp through invitation. And God has blessed me with a couple of different really just great talents, and I was able to use those talents to be invited in to the refugee camp. And while we were in there, we would talk about Jesus, but we really didn't get an opportunity to be able to share the gospel. And I was kind of really upset with myself, I think, just feeling really inadequate. You know, as you were sharing, you know, believing the lies from the evil one, I think that I really fell into that temptation and really broke my heart. You know, I was like, man, I'm in full-time ministry, and why am I not being bold? for you, Jesus. And I remember coming back home after that mission trip, really in a dark place. You know, I had just, graduated from college in full-time ministry. I hadn't even been in full-time ministry for a year yet, still haven't been in full-time ministry for a year yet, but I was like, man, am I good enough? You know, I think that's the question that I'll always run to, so often run to, is am I good enough? Am I good enough to do this job? And I remember just being on my knees praying to Jesus, God, would you use me? You know, am I good enough to be used by you? And, oh, man, it was this really intense moment with the Lord, but he yelled this at me, but he was like, man, I want you to reach out to a guy named Tyler. And, it kind of took me off guard. I wasn't expecting to hear from the Lord, but I was, you know, Tyler, okay. And Tyler was this guy that I'd been running into on campus over and over again. And I just really felt like the Lord was asking me to reach out to him. And so I messaged him on Facebook, and I said, hey, Tyler, this might be really weird, but this morning I was just on my knees praying for you, praying that the Lord would have his way in your life. And he didn't message me back for a really long time. And I started getting insecure. I was like, man.
So then you're really nervous,
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, man, was this from you, God? And I just remember after a while, he messaged me back. And he was like, hey, man, I'm really encouraged by that. And we started talking, and I finally asked him if he would be interested in meeting with me for lunch. And so we ended up grabbing lunch the next day. And just got an opportunity to share with him a little bit about what the Lord was doing in my own heart. And being just really sharing a little bit about my insecurities. And, you know, I asked him, I said, Tyler, where are you at? You know, what has God been doing in your life? And he looked at me and he said, Chris, you're never gonna believe this. But me and my girlfriend, we've been dating for 6 years. And we've been talking about marriage. We're both about to graduate from college. And when you messaged me, like the exact moment you messaged me, Shelby and I were talking about marriage and if we were to get married, how we wanted to raise our children up in a Christian home. And to be honest, wow. I've never been to church. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know what a relationship with the Lord, where I would begin to have that. And then all of a sudden, this guy who's a missionary and loves the Lord is reaching out to me. And how awesome is God? And so that's what God's been doing in my life. And so I had an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And just to make a long story short, he ended up surrendering his life to Christ, which is just so awesome. You know, and it's such a good reminder that God can still use me, you know, even when I'm not being as bold as I would like to be. But the Lord, you know, is still faithful. And so, I had an opportunity to share the gospel. He surrendered his life to Christ. And then we started praying faithfully for his girlfriend. And then about a week before I came out here to Estes Park, Colorado, had an opportunity to sit down with Shelby, and she surrendered her life to Christ. And then a week later, Tyler sent me a photo with a ring on Shelby's hand, and she said yes. And we're so excited to be able to build our family around Christ. And, man, I'm getting emotional talking about this.
Oh,
that
is so neat.
That, yeah, it's so good. And so I think that, you know, I went from this really dark place asking God, can you use me? Will you use me? For him just showing off in my life so exponentially more than I could ever begin to fathom. You know, I couldn't have wrote that narrative right there, that story, and God was able to use me. You know, I'm so humbled by that, but he's still able to use me even when I'm not as faithful as I want to be, you know? So, yeah, I think that
exactly.
was coming from, you know, dark place to light.
Well, you know, though, when you talk about being over there, Chris, and you really didn't feel like you had that opportunity, you never know, because maybe just your behavior, was enough to plant some seeds. I mean, it's hard to say. I understand where you're coming from. You're all on fire and you wanted to share so much, but maybe God knew, I'm sure God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And maybe those people could only handle witnessing your behavior right now. So it's hard to say, but thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you. And that's a good reminder. I think I can often be too hard on myself. So it's a good reminder to just show myself and extend myself grace. So thank you for that, Patty. I appreciate that.
Well, I think we all are. You know, how many times, my goodness, of course, I was up there in Estes Park with a bunch of writers, you know, and how many times did we talk about who's reading my work? And, well, you know, sometimes God calls us to write for an audience of one. So
yeah,
you just never know. You just never know.
Amen.
Chris, I wanted to get back to some of the issues that we were talking about with our college students today. You mentioned that, what did you say, only 6% of the students that you have been in touch with at the university pretty much profess their faith in Jesus. Was that a statement correct?
Yeah, ma'am. Yeah, sadly.
The students that are committed, how committed do you think they are to continuing to learn and to spreading that word to others? Or do you think they kind of keep their faith to themselves?
No, Patty, I think that's a really great question. And, you know, I think that is why collegiate ministry is so important. You know, that we're walking alongside them and spurring them on to be bold for Christ. And I think that there are just so many people that I come in contact with that are on college campuses that think, well, man, this is the 4 years that I can just do whatever I want. I can't be impactful for the kingdom. I can't be impactful for this world. And I think, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You're like the smartest and the brightest people in the world. You're going through college. You can be so impactful. And so I think that it's kind of a loaded question, but I think once they're able to come through our ministry, we try to encourage them and speak truth into their life about how they can be impactful for the kingdom of God. And so I think actually a large majority of students who are involved in our ministry, I think that I would say that they're pretty bold with the gospel, that they're willing and able and equipped to be able to share the gospel. I don't think that they hold it to themselves. I think that they're really good about sharing it with others.
Good. That's wonderful to hear. And I was wondering, is there any indication from your standpoint, from what you have seen, that the movement is gaining momentum or, sadly, losing momentum? What are your thoughts as far as which way is the shift going?
Yeah, Patty, that's a really great question. And I think, that's also a loaded question, but I really believe that the Lord is doing an amazing work through the lives of college students, and that's what excites me. You know, I love what John Maxwell says. You know, he talks about how we need to find out what Jesus is doing and join him. And I really believe that the Lord is doing a mighty work on college campuses, not only at Ball State, but across the country. And that's one of the things that I love being out here in Estes Park for the summer, is that we get an opportunity to hang out with staff from all across the country that are doing the exact same work that I get to be able to do at Ball State. And so I really believe that the Lord really just placed this verse on my heart a couple nights ago, and it's found in Psalm 85, 6, and it says, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" And I really believe that revival, this is what I'm praying for, that revival is about to break out. And I really believe that it's going to start on college campuses. And I really think that it is. You know, I really think that it's already starting. I can't tell you how many people I've been able to talk to. You know, just as I share that story with Tyler and Shelby, that young people are understanding that there's something is going on and they want to find it. You know, that they understand the void that they have in their heart and they want to find it. And we have some of the brightest people on our campuses across the country who are searching for that. And so that's what I love. So I really believe that momentum is we're gaining momentum. We're being able to just advance the kingdom of God so quickly. And I believe that we're doing it quicker now than years past. And I think that it's only growing. Yeah.
Oh, that is wonderful news to hear, Chris. I know I don't really have that much exposure to young people anymore. I have one granddaughter who is going to be 16 next month.
No, man.
And, you know, I think here I am a senior, you know, a senior citizen, and we look at young people, and I think I blame a lot of it on the media, because you very seldom hear good stuff about things that young people are doing. It's all the bad. And I wonder if there is a way that maybe even our college campuses can do something to start to change that, because there's so much good stuff going on out there among our younger generation.
Absolutely.
Chris, you have mentioned, we've talked more than once about the fact that you're in Estes Park. So will you share with us what your mission, your assignment, whatever is up there right now? You shared that with me briefly when we met up there, but share with our audience what you're doing there for, I believe it's several weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an 11-week program, Patty, and I'm so blessed to be out here. I really believe that Estes Park is just the most beautiful place in the world, Estes Park, Colorado. And so what we do is, you know, as I mentioned, we're doing ministry with college students, and 99% of college students are going to go into a normal vocation, right? Not going to go into vocational ministry. But we hope that they would be able to graduate from school and go into their programs, go to become a nurse, go to become a lawyer, go to become a school teacher. But our hope is that they would be missional-minded. You know, I believe that the Lord has called us all to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that Jesus has commanded us all. But I really understand the importance of school teachers and doctors and lawyers and all these other professions. And so what our hope is that we would train and equip people to be able to go into their workforce, their field of work, and be passionate about Jesus. And so we have an awesome opportunity every summer. Over 120 students get to come out to Estes Park, and we hook them up with a job in partnership with the YMCA of the Rockies, which is how you and I met, Patty. And
yes.
And we say, hey, let's go ahead and let's work 40 hours a week, but let's also teach and equip you on how to be bold in the workplace. And so we have services three times a week that just have awesome opportunities to meet with the Lord, and we really challenge our students. I think I remember I went as a student, and I was really challenged, and I really felt like it was the most impactful summer of my life when I was in college, was up here in the mountains of Estes Park, just being on top of mountains and just crying out to the Lord and saying, God, where are you? God, what do you want from me? And I think that that is so true for students in college, that they're going through 4 or 5, 6 years of schooling, and they're asking themselves the question, God, what do you want from me? What is it that you want from me? And I think that we allow students to be able to engage in that conversation with the Lord. And I think that it's so awesome. It's an 11-week program. It's called Leadership Training. We call it LT out here. And, it's just how do you become a leader for the kingdom of God? And so that's what we try to equip our students with.
Wow. And now some of these students, correct me if I'm wrong, some of them will be returning to their college environment, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably 95% of our students. So 95% of the 100 students are going back to their schools on fire for the Lord. And there are 12 campuses that are represented out here from as far east as, Maryland, Maryland University, go Terps, and then all the way as south as Texas A&M and North Texas, and really everywhere in between. And so we have 12 campuses represented here at Estes Park this summer.
That is neat. And would you happen to know, Chris, if a campus wanted to become involved in that program, how they could do that?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, and I think that that's a great question. And so we're part of an organization that kind of falls under Reliant called Collegiate. And we're really blessed to just have a small-knit community. I think we have something like 22 churches that are involved in Collegiate across the country. And, I'm sure that if there was a campus administrator that is listening to this, gosh, I would love for you to get in contact with me, and I would love to dream with you about what it would look like to start a church on your respective campus. Or if you're someone who's just passionate about campus ministry, I would love for you to just contact me. And as Patty said, there's going to be a link for my Facebook. Just shoot me a message. I would love to get in contact with you and talk with you.
And that maybe brings me to my next question, Chris, and that what advice would you give to, we have high school students who have just graduated, they're going to be heading off to college. How do they maybe do something to hook their college up with your organization? And how do they navigate through the apathy about faith that does seem to dominate the college campuses today? How do they deal with all that?
Yeah, gosh, and I know that there are probably a ton of parents who are listening to this right now and probably praying to God that there are campus ministries like the one that I get to be a part of. And I can't tell you how many high school students and how many parents and how many youth ministers I've talked to about this question. So I just appreciate you, Patty, for giving me the platform to kind of share my thoughts on this. But if you're a high school student or if you're a parent of a high school student, I think my prayer for you guys is that you wouldn't believe the lie that you can't be impactful for the kingdom of God while you're in school. And that it isn't just this 4-year get-out-of-jail-free card where you can do whatever you want. I really believe that. I've seen some of the most amazing work that God has done in the 4-year window, 5-year window, 6-year window, however long it takes you to get through school. Jesus just really shows up and really impacts the lives of students. And so don't believe that lie that God can't change you, God can't transform you. And so my advice would be, gosh, the very first week, the very first thing that you do when you're on campus is find a ministry. It doesn't even have to be collegiate. It doesn't have to be under Reliance Head, but just go out and find a church and really pray that the Lord would lead you to a community of believers who are going to strengthen and encourage you and challenge you to be the best person that you can be and the person that God wants you to be. And yeah, so I think that I would just warn against. You know, I love what you how you asked that question, Patty, is how do you navigate through apathy about faith? You know, it dominates college students today. And so my prayer would just be pray against it. You know, be really bold for Christ. You know, the Lord is really listening to our prayers, and he wants to answer our prayers. And gosh, what better prayer than, God, would you allow me to be bold for you my 4 years in college, during my college career? And, yeah, I think I would just answer the question the same. How do you get involved in a ministry like ours? Gosh, I would love to connect with you. So if you're listening right now and that's something that you're interested in, or if you're a parent of a student that would want to get involved in a ministry, I would love for you to just reach out to me. You can friend me on Facebook and message me. I would love to have a conversation and a dialogue about this.
Okay, it sounds wonderful, Chris. I'm curious too. Do you guys send out like any kind of literature to college campuses and things like that, trying to reach out to them?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I wish I had more time to talk about this. But now we, as a movement, as collegiate, really believe in three things. Kind of the three things that we're led by is to make fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ, to plant churches on college campuses, and be bold with the gospel. Those are kind of the three things that we love to talk about. And so one of the things that we are really prayerfully considering is, what does it look like to be bold on church plants? And so actually Ball State, if you're listening, gosh, pray for us. We're thinking about potentially doing a church plant in Indianapolis at IUPUI. So I think we understand that there are only 22 colleges in our network of churches, and we would love to be, at 50. We'd love to be at 100 really quickly.
Sure.
And so, yeah, we're really passionate about planting churches on college campuses. And so, yeah, I don't know if we really send out literature, but we send ourselves, which is maybe the next best thing, right? Yeah, maybe the best thing. And so we're looking at being on college campuses and really being bold with going out on college campuses. So, yeah, that's a great question.
Very good. Well, you've had many different experiences, Chris, with young people, and you talked about your experience overseas. What would you say you have learned about people in general, and especially young people in particular, through your work thus far?
Yeah, no, gosh, that is a great question. And I think the one thing that sticks out in my mind about people is everyone is searching for something. Everyone is searching for something to fill their life with. And as you and I know, Patty, the only thing that can fill their life is Jesus. The only thing that can make them whole is Jesus. And, no matter how good or how bad you are, you need Jesus, right? And so, yeah, I think that's the one thing that I've learned about people is that they're in dire need and desperate need of just being impacted by Jesus Christ. And I think young people in particular, and I love that you share this, as a journalism major, telecommunications major, I worked with the media all the time. And, yeah, I think that the media does a really good job of putting the young people in a bad light, that young people aren't good for anything. And I would just say that's a lie. I really believe that young people today are some of the most caring and compassionate people that I've ever met, that they really want to see the world being changed. And sometimes that's led by just themselves. They just want to see everybody in harmony and happiness. Man, the students that just get a hold of Jesus at a young age or while they're in college, they really understand the impact that they can have for Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, that's one thing that that I've learned about young people is young people are passionate about something, and I love it when they get excited about Jesus Christ, because I think that they become really bold for him.
Absolutely. Well, Christopher, it's been wonderful having you on the show. I have a few more minutes if there's anything else you would like to share with us. I'm not really on a time crunch. You may be, but
no way.
If there's anything else that you're just burning to say, please don't hesitate to share.
Yeah, I really, I just want to thank you so much, Patty. You know, it's just so awesome how the Lord connected us. It's just so awesome how the Lord works, you know, and I guess the only thing that I could say is, if you're listening to this, would you just please pray for us? I think that we're really in desperate need of praying, because I think that, I think we often get overlooked as doing ministry here domestically. I think we often get overlooked. It's so easy to say, oh my gosh, you know, they're going over to Africa, or they're going over to Amsterdam, or they're going over to Asia, and they're being bold for the gospel. But man, the Lord is needed here in America just as much. You know, just as I shared, 6% of our university are followers of Jesus Christ, committed followers of Jesus Christ, and that is a sad reality. And so I just ask, if you're listening, to just pray for our campuses, because I really believe that Satan has a stronghold on a lot of our campuses, and that a lot of people are believing the lie that you can't be intelligent and love Jesus and that be in the same sentence. And I just want to say that's a lie, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and so my hope is that you, because I really believe in the power of prayer, that you would just pray for workers to be, raised up in our network. Missionaries to come up and say yes to the calling of Jesus Christ, to go into the mission field on college campuses. And if you're a parent listening to this, I would just encourage your students, stay on your student. I didn't get to share this, but if it wasn't for my mother, I think I would be involved in a student ministry. And so if you're a parent, really be persistent with your student and asking them questions, probing questions of the ministry that they're getting involved in. So I think that is what I would like to share that I didn't
Very
get an opportunity
good,
to share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the time that you spent with us. And it really was to share with our listeners a little bit. We were at our conference at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference for the last day. That was Sunday morning I met you, huh? So
yes, ma'am.
We were going to do a worship service after breakfast, and then we were going to be leaving. After some of the group went up to Rocky Mountain National Park for a tour. I couldn't stay for that. But anyway, it was just interesting that a friend that I happened to be with started speaking with you. And you two shared a little bit about what you were doing up there at the YMCA of the Rockies. And you already walked out the door, in fact. And I mentioned to her, I said, I wish I could have talked to him. I would have asked him if he'd like to do a radio show. And she went and chased you down.
And then she came back in.
We got maybe 5 minutes to talk, and from then we've exchanged information via email. But I love the way God works in bringing guests to this show, because some of it has been really amazing, and your story is one. So thank you so much, Chris, for taking the time to share with us today.
Yeah,
and I would like
Patty,
to
thank you so much.
I would like to wish you the very best with your mission up there in Estes Park and on Ball State University. And may God bless you richly and be with you every step of the way.
Thank you so much, Patty. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. God bless you. Take care. For our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Let me remind folks to go to pattysheene.com, PATTISHENE, and under the Blog Talk Radio tab, you will find the website and social media information where you can connect with Chris and any of our other guests. You can also find an archived version of this show that you can listen to or refer to friends or whatever. So thank you for being with us this morning, and we will look forward to seeing you next week, Tuesday morning at 8:00 Mountain Daylight Time. God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it home.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.